Avos per Gimel Mishnah Yud Tes 3:19. According to some Mishnahs, it's 3:15. It says a kol tzafui, everything is seen, v'harashus nesuna, and permission is given, uvetov ha'olam nidon, and the world is judged with good, v'akol lefi rov ha'maase, and everything is according to either the majority or the quantity of the action. That's the Mishnah. Now there's a lot going on over here. First of all, you have to note that the Mishnah doesn't start with either an attribution to a particular person. We're, of course, still in the world of Rabbi Akiva. But usually when we have a series of statements from a Tana over a number of Mishnayos, then usually it says, Hu haya omer. Like, for example, see in the next Mishnah, where it's still talking about Rabbi Akiva, and it says, Hu haya omer, he used to say. So it's funny that's not over here. And Tosfos Yom Tov suggests that that's because this Mishnah is a continuation of the previous, even if it's a separate Mishnah. But the point is we're continuing on the same topic. This is a natural outcome of the previous Mishnah. And according to him, the previous Mishnah, which was talking about Hashem expressing his love for us, his chiba for us, which is a machai, which obligates us to do the right thing. So this now is a continuation of that idea. That it says, Akol tzafui, according to the Bartanur and most others, it means Hashem sees what we're doing because he's looking. He's looking to see what we'll do about this relationship. V'arishus nesuna, and permission is given. I mean, we have free will. Hashem did not make us creatures of fate. He didn't declare ahead of time if we would be good or evil and the like. Rather, every human being has the opportunity to make the choice of uvacharta b'chaim, choose to be good, and elect to have the relationship with Hashem that he was offering, as said on the previous Mishnah. So now we have permission. Hashem is watching us. And then uvatov olam nidon, we will be judged. So beware of that. But the judgment really is coming from a place of Hashem's goodness, perhaps as tempered with rachamim. V'akol if yirov ha'maaseh, according to Bartanura, the amount of rachamim, the amount of mercy that is commingled with our din, says the Bartanura, is a function of our good deeds. Rov ha'maaseh, the quantity of our deeds, meaning that if the preponderance, if we do more good deeds, so then there'll be more rachamim, more mercy in our judgment. And if we do fewer good deeds, there'll be less mercy in the judgment we have. That's mida keneged mida. That's only fair. People who make an effort to do better, Hashem will reciprocate and sort of make an effort to judge them in a more favorable light. That's the Bartanura's basic approach to the Mishnah here. And therefore, when it says hakol tzafui, everything is seen, it means in the present tense. Hashem is watching. Which would mean it's kind of similar to what we had in the previous Mishnah, you know, when we said, you know, da mala mala mimcha, know what's above you, the eye in roa, the eye watching, and the like. This is the same thing, that eye that's watching. That's the Bartanura's approach. Now, the Tosos Yom Tov points out that it would be strange for that to be pshat, because then it should say, harishus nasuna, permission is given, and hakol tzafui, and Hashem is watching you. Why should we first say Hashem is watching, and then tell you, but permission is given? So therefore, the Tosfos Yom Tov is really partial to the approach of the Rambam. The Rambam's approach in this Mishnah is different. He understands hakol tzafui, everything is seen, not in the present tense, but in the future tense, meaning Hashem already knows what's going to happen from the beginning. And nevertheless, harishus nasuna, permission is given for us to do whatever we want, meaning we have free will even though God has foreknowledge of what we're going to choose. Now that, of course, raises a number of questions. It's an old question. It's a very difficult question. Many, you know, their modern-day philosophers say this is the most difficult question of all in the context of religion. Here we have, how could God have foreknowledge of our actions if we really have free will? Because free will means we're free to choose A or B, and if Hashem knows we're going to choose A already and Hashem can't be wrong, so then how can we be free to choose B? That would falsify Hashem's knowledge. We can't do that. That's the problem. Now, the Rambam raises this explicitly in Hilchos Tshuva, Perkei, Mishdei, and he says over there, this is a very difficult question, says the Rambam, so difficult the fact that it's beyond our understanding, and it's because the nature of Hashem's knowledge is so inconceivable to us that we simply can't understand what it means, even though Hashem does have knowledge of what we're going to do, because Hashem's outside of space and time, but we can't really get our head around that, and therefore we have to sort of accept it. And the Ravid objects, you know, vociferously, saying, why in the world is Rambam asking questions that he haven't got answers to? Just to make people be, you know, very uncomfortable. Notwithstanding, you learn the Rambam over there, you'll see the Rambam has what to say on the topic, so it's not as simple as the Ravid suggests. And there are approaches. So some people's approach simply is, like I said, The question is a good question, and you have to have a munim because the answer, well, there is an answer, and the Rambam says there is an answer, but just let's be honest to understand. Other people suggest that the answer is understandable, and they explain it not like how even like anti, you know, atheistic philosophers explained it. There's like Bertrand Russell and the like, so this isn't a problem, because if God is outside of space and time, so since he's outside of time, he sort of knows the future in the present. So he knows what we're going to do, but only because, and this is the essential point here, he only knows it because we choose it. In other words, kind of like, you know, if you're watching a rerun of something, you know, you there was a sporting event, the basketball game, and you recorded it, and now you're watching the recording. So as you watched it, you know, if you heard before you watched the recording, you heard, you know, that the black team wins. So even though you're watching the game and you know the black team's going to win for certain, but still, as you watch the game play out, those players you're watching, so to speak, have free will in the recording, and anyone could have won. It's just that you know what's going to happen because you've seen the future already. So that reflects back to the present. But you only know the future because of what actually happened, because of what they chose to do. And similarly, Hashem doesn't force us to choose anything. But once we've made a choice, so then Hashem sees that choice, that future choice. And now in the present, he knows what's going to happen because we chose it. But the essential point here is that Hashem didn't force us to choose it. Okay, this is something that's a lot to think about. But that's what the Rambam learns. So occult safui means Hashem sees the future, he knows what's going to happen, and nevertheless, harishus nasuna. That doesn't mean that people don't have free will. We don't believe in fate. Obviously, some things are set from our birth, but certainly not our choices for good and evil. We're not chosen ahead of time if we'll be a tzaddik or rasha. We can choose that based on our own bechira, free will. And that, of course, is so important because ultimately we believe that everything will be based on, you know, there'll be an ultimate, you know, world to come, and reward and punishment. This is the yisod, the principle is every good deed gets rewarded, every bad deed is punished, and justice requires that. And so the Rambam is saying here, as everyone says, all the Jewish thinkers say, it must be that we have free will, necessarily so, and there are psukim that support that, of course, verses that support that throughout the Torah, because that is the basis of our being judged. If we didn't have freedom to choose, then our judgment wouldn't be fair. So then the Mishnah goes on to say, uvetov ha'olam nidon. The judgment is coming from a good place. Hashem judges us with rachamim. So some learn, like the Bartanur, like I said before, just means that people will have an admixture of rachamim in the judgment. And everything, it's a kolifi rova masa. It depends on how much good stuff you did. More good actions will get you the more merciful judgment. I'm not especially partial to that approach. I really much more partial to the approach that every good deed must get reward, every bad deed gets punished, and therefore the place of mercy of rachamim in the context of din is that Hashem gives us time. Meaning, ultimately, the din has to be a din emes, exactly fair, but the rachamim is that Hashem gives us time to get our affairs in order, to fix ourselves up, and you know, and do tshuva and prepare ourselves to become the people we need to become. So the rachamim is that we have time to get our affairs in order. That's the rachamim. So hakol lefi rov ha'maaseh, everything according to the rov of the maaseh, of action. So according to Bartanura, then it rov means kind of quantity, and more maasim tovim, more good actions will be for a more rachamim, more mercy in the din of the judgment. Others learn that rov maaseh means the majority of the actions. So for example, the Rambam says in the Yad that, you know, whether a person is getting the category of tzaddik or rasha, which basically means either he's in or out of the world to come, is based on the majority of his deeds. He talks about how it's not necessarily a mathematical majority, but you know, it's also weighted based on the difficulty of the decisions that were made along the way. But the point is, if a person's mostly good, then he's in. If he's mostly bad, he's not in. And then, of course, those who are mostly good will have some not good, and that needs to be attended to with Yisurim in their lifetime, or Gehenna, whatever the story is, afterwards. The Rambam has a different approach by the last part of this mission, also very interesting. Hakol lefi rov ha'maaseh understands the Rambam to tell you that a quantity of actions, doing the right thing again and again, is a person's benefit. Meaning, if the question is, should I give $100 to one worthy cause, or should I give $1 to 100 worthy causes, the Rambam says you do the latter, because the point, meaning you should give 100 different causes, $1 each. The reason why is because the Rambam understands that the pu'ulot, the actions that the Torah prescribes, are there to change a person, to have an impact on a person. And really, one becomes accustomed and habituated through good actions repeating themselves. That's what transforms a person's inner world. And therefore, it's important that a person go through the struggle, let's say, if we're talking about the context of giving charity, giving tzedakah, so a person should give tzedakah again and again and again and again, which makes him into a more generous person. It impacts him and changes him, and therefore a person should strive to do the right thing again and again in terms of quantity of actions, because that will be the most transformative to his personality.